Oh, isn't it good to come in here the first thing in the morning and start singing about how great God's name is in all the earth?
Amen.
That makes all the big people with big heads about yay big.
Amen.
God is the one whose name is above every name, even Jesus. Jesus was God in an earth suit. Even our Sunday school kids understand that. Religious folks have a problem. Oh, how many of you as Christians have critters at home? Any of you have dogs? Oh, good. I got a story for you. All of the rest of you that don't have any dogs, you probably won't get this at first. But those of you that do, maybe you'll like this. This little story is called The Truly Incredible Dog. All right? This fundamentalist Christian couple felt it was important to own an equally fundamental Christian pet. So they went shopping. At a kennel specializing in this particular breed, they found a dog that they liked quite a lot. When they asked the dog to fetch the Bible, he did it in a flash. When they instructed him to look up Psalm 23, he complied equally fast. Using his paws with great dexterity. They were so impressed, they purchased the animal and went home, piously, of course, because they had a Christian dog. That night, they had friends over. They were so proud of their new fundamentalist dog and his major skills, they called the dog and showed him off a little bit to their friends. Friends were very impressed and asked whether the dog was able to do any of the usual dog tricks. As well, that stopped the couple cold, and they hadn't really thought about normal tricks for a Christian dog. Well, they said, let's try this out. Once more, they called out to the dog and then clearly pronounced the command, heel! Quick as a wink, the dog jumped up, put his paw on the man's forehead, closed his eyes in concentration, and bowed his head. Don't ask me where I get these. I spend weeks looking for them. Some just are more appropriate than others. It didn't violate my warped sense of humor today, so we're good. Oh, thank you, Lord. I'm happy you're here too.
Let me give you a hug.
We can do that.
Thanks, Rick.
That one is from the heart. Oh, thank you, Lord. Yes, what a lot of wonderful lives have been so touched and blessed and changed over the years. And it's, you never know, every Sunday you never get programmed because you're never going to know what a Sunday's going to be like.
My mother had Alzheimer's and brought her here to church, and she was really in the hand.
Yes, she did.
And all my children have been saved here in a grandchild. Except one of my kids. That's a lot to be grateful for.
Yes.
That I knew my mother and my father also got saved. I led them to the Lord. So I know where they are.
Amen.
That's really important.
Yes, it is. We need to know those things if it's possible.
We have nothing else. Salvation is the best thing you can have.
Yes, amen. The young lady that got saved here last week.
Praise God.
The anointing and God's presence is still very much here when we come here together and gather in His name. Thank you. Someone else have a testimony, a praise report? Yes, Emily.
And sometimes it comes right up on you and you
God's GPS. Yes.
Do you ever have I have a request for prayer for this man. When would you do that?
Well, we're going to have prayer at the most amazing, unannounced, non-specified
okay.
time today. We don't see the clock when it's time for prayer. Okay. Well, you'll be very pleased. Our opening scripture this morning. Yes. What? Oh, Gary, you switched seats. Good, you broke tradition. Thank you. I like that.
this morning, I was going to pick up David, but her father wasn't feeling good when he got up this morning. He looked like I was needing to do more helping my mom and help him stay at the house, so I didn't think I was going to make it over. So I called Tom and let him know.
Thank you, and thank you for bringing David as well.
Get me on track this morning.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have made it. He didn't have his seatbelt on, and he was heading up to Burlington. I had to hold him back.
That would have been a good ride, too. Oh, praise the Lord. Proverbs 29:18, and I would like to read it out of the Old King's English, and then we have the New King James probably to put up on the board so that you can see the difference that one word means in a verse of Scripture. Proverbs 29:18. The Old English says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keeps the law, happy is he." The New English says, "Where there is no revelation, the people cast off, but happy is he who keeps the law." And this, you notice that the word vision has been changed to revelation. But when you go a little further into that, you discover that it's a prophetic vision. So the Old English comes back to being the more traditional. But the two work together. God has a plan for each life. It's laid out. You can find a lot of what God expects of us in His Word. But there are particular things that God, by His Spirit, has given you concerning you, each one of you individually, about your walk, about your life, what He wants you to do. But if there's no revelation, if there's no understanding of that, what happens is that people tend to just do anything to do something. And the tendency for that is because when we get saved, God puts a desire to serve others in our hearts. And it just seems like that's the natural thing that begins to happen as soon after we're saved. We just seems like those things are some of the first things that change. But where there is no vision, the people perish means we go off course. And there are a lot of really good things that we do that are available to us to do. But then there's the God things to do. And through discernment, through revelation, through a prophetic word, however the Holy Spirit may speak to our hearts, it's very important to find out what are the God things. And do you know your list will suddenly get really short? So that you have the freedom to function in flow in God's vision and plan for your life, and you won't be so cluttered and running all over the place saying yes to everything and everybody, and you lose your peace, you lose your joy, you start slipping into that whole series of teachings that we just came out of about getting burnout. Why? Because we've said yes to so many people, to so many things, we might have missed maybe one thing that God said to us that was His plan for our lives. And that's why this verse of Scripture is very important. It's very short. But we cast off restraint. When I think of restraint, I was thinking about a practical application of that: seat belts. Your car can be barreling down the highway at untold speeds. Only GPS and the police know how fast you drive when nobody else is looking. But there's a restraint there. Two restraints. Number one, the Holy Spirit. You're speeding. That's against the law. Slow down. The other restraint is your seatbelt, or a harness, if you will, or a car seat for our kids when they're little in a car. And the same thing is when we start chasing after and just doing a lot of good stuff, it's like we're doing it without paying attention to the restraining of the Holy Spirit. I don't have many, but I had one vision once that pertains to this. It was one big fire, and then I kept seeing all these other little fires. And in my vision or dream, I was running around, and I was attempting to put dirt or water or smother out all of those other little fires. And I turned to look back, and the big fire was almost gone. And that was when this word became very understandable to me. As a pastor, I get asked to do so many things, go so many places, speak in so many meetings at times, that I can be pulled here and there and everywhere. But if I neglect the one true fire that I'm called to, then that fire is going to diminish. And it's the same for all of us. We all want to go and put everybody else's fire out. But what happens is, what about the fire that keeps us burning inside?
True.
What about that passion? What about the thing that God put inside of each one of you to do? And the simplicity of this is just what it is. Stick with what God showed you to do and do it. I pastor and teach and lay hands on the sick. That's it. Do a wedding or a funeral once in a while, but those are my main key things. I can do a lot of other things, but I've noticed if I busy myself in all of the other things, then I've kind of lost that vision, and I'm going to perish. Not necessarily perish in the sense of something being lost, but what gets lost is the course or the plan or the purpose for my life that God has. And I start veering off course, doing all of these other things instead of the one thing that He's called me to do. And that's, but happy is he who keeps the law. You have to understand this was written under the old covenant, but the law was the book of the law. But now we have the New Testament too, which is a part of the book. So happy is he who keeps the word of God. That's where we get our direction. That's where we understand what God's will for our lives is. That's where we get our instruction. It's basic instructions before leaving earth, B-I-B-L-E, Bible. And we're happy if we stay in that realm. Happy means blessed, prosper, successful, overcome, victorious. A lot of words can come out of the word happy if we stay focused on where we're supposed to be and read this and study it and meditate on it. That keeps us so that when the enemy comes and tries to mess up your day, you won't be successful. You won't perish that day because you'll stay fixed, you'll stay focused. That's why this has always been a word church. There are a lot of other programs out there to help people, but nothing is more powerful and changes lives than the Word of God and the Spirit of God. They work together. It keeps us on track. And so many of you could testify to that fact of how you face great adversities in your faith, great challenges. But the one thing that you can always come back to is, I'm standing on what I know as it's been revealed by the Spirit to me, and I'm not going to move over here, I'm not going to go over there, I'm staying right here. And you keep that word before your face day and night, and there's nothing that you can't do. You are supernatural people by the Holy Spirit. So the next time you read that, think about that. Where there is no revelation or where there's no vision, the people perish, or they cast off their restraints. They don't wait on the Lord. They get impatient and they just go rushing off and do stuff, and we can get in trouble quick.